For Brighton's lawyers and 4D doors.
The Summer Breakfast Team. Filling in for me, Vossie, on 1170 SEN.
It is the Summer Breakfast Team. It's Joe Healy and Jimmy Smith. We're here right up until 9 o'clock. If Joe stays awake, we're right up in here until 9 o'clock. Now, just before we jump into what's going to be a massive program this morning as well, you better tell the listeners what you're up to last night, Joe.
I was working at the Kings Jack Jumpers game. Ooh. In the NBL doing sidelines. So apologies, I am a little bit jaded this morning, but exactly as you were yesterday morning, we have these commitments. We love our sport and our work, so it's okay.
Exactly. And the fact that we can mesh them in together is even better. We'll get a couple of sports updates from Joe Healy, courtesy of Kennard's Hire, throughout the course of the morning. We'll also have a chat with Mark Schwarzer. This is a bit of a treat, right? Mark Schwarzer, OAM,
yes,
no less. Okay, we'll ask some stuff about the EPL and the League Cup that's going on this morning as well, but that's cool.
I interviewed him once. I lived over in the UK, and when he was playing at Chelsea, I went and interviewed him, and I'm laughing thinking about it. Junior reporter. Knew what I was doing for the most part, but yep. But my mum, again, why does mum's name always come?
She's a very strong presence in your life.
She is. But she'd said to say hello. And so I said, you know, when I was leaving, I said, great to chat. By the way, my mum says hi. And he was like, oh, say hey to Will for me.
Does your mum know, Mark?
No.
This is like, don't you say hi to someone you know?
You'd think so, yeah.
Yeah.
She just was excited.
That's the thing. We think we know them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the whole movie star or TV star where you go, oh, g'day, how are you going? And they must think, oh, no, here we go again.
I even work in basketball and Bogues walked past me last night and I was like, hey, Bogues. And he's like, yeah.
That's cool. Nick Kyrgios was up and about
last night. Yeah. Some of those young guys really put on a bit of a show, especially towards the end, so it was good.
Xavier Cooks was outstanding. Jarrell Martin, player of the match.
Yes.
He was excellent as well.
DJ Vasiljevic, on his way back from injury, had a good first half. We are speaking to him later this morning as well, which will be cool.
That is awesome. Just over 13 minutes for DJ. A lot going on for him away from basketball as well. We can ask about that. You're up today, Jokey.
Oh, I just think of something quick, smart, don't I?
Mm. Well, not really. You've got a couple of, you're nearly 2 hours.
I'm slow this morning. That's not
very
long.
Okay. Hammy Goodman from SportsBet will be along for a chat as well. Lachlan Furnell from
the
Queens.
He will not.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember? He was on yesterday. Yeah. He said, Merry Christmas. You guys need to do your own segment tomorrow.
Right, okay. Playing the role of Hammy Goodman will be me this morning. Lachlan Furnell from the Queensland Cricketers Club, the CEO. He'll be along for a chat as well. So lots going on. Your chance to be a part of the program as well. 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line 0457 736 736. Live sport coming up very shortly. Brentford v Chelsea, Liverpool v Leicester City, and Tottenham Hotspur v West Ham United. So two of Mark Schwarz's former EPL clubs are in action there. So we can look forward to that. There is so much going on with COVID, or indeed not going on with COVID. Yeah, and it's getting a little bit that way. Or maybe it's beyond getting a little bit that way.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's Christmas. I feel like as soon as Christmas is done and dusted and everyone who can makes the most of spending the time with their family and enjoying that time, I think people won't care as much.
Yeah. We've had three FFA cup games postponed. There's sport being postponed all over the place. There's still openings. They're still at maximum crowd capacity at the MCG at this stage. There's talk about it's not mandated, but wear a mask. The QR codes are back. Freedoms remain as far as moving around, except for WA, of course, but which have imposed further restrictions on other states. But generally speaking, we're sort of there or thereabouts on a knife edge. So to give you an example, last night I'm sitting there at home all alone and I start reading the Twitter feed and I think, well, I'll go and watch this fight. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go and watch this fight. I'm not paying $60 for it at home, but I'm going to go and watch it at the pub. So I'm driving up there. I have a phone call with a mate and we're talking about Peter Mulholland's funeral today, this former St. Gregory's College coach and well-known in the world of rugby league. It's going to be massive at St. Gregory's. And we talked about going there and the dangers associated with that on the eve of Christmas. I'm taking my 90-year-old aunt to Christmas down the coast tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I don't want to be. So rather than walk into the pub, I say, right, I'll just go home and I'll watch the basketball and I'll watch the cricket.
It's a tough one, but good on you.
And I think you do the right thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so how it's altered behaviours over the last couple of days would be really interesting to learn from the listeners. If you wanted to do that for us, that'd be great. Yeah, it was the Kings getting it done, but you might be best placed to do a match report on this Jack Jumpers game. They were down by 13 at one point.
There was a time in the third quarter that I genuinely, it felt like the building, the energy had been sapped out of the building. It felt like the Jack Jumpers had it. And then Joel, as you mentioned, player of the game, absolutely threw one down, and Bawali Bayos came off the bench at just the right time and injected a whole lot of energy, and they just managed to work their way back in. The crowd got back into it as well. Nick Kyrgios on the sidelines, off his chair as well, like cheering and getting into it, and they managed to really lock down a defense in that fourth quarter as well. I think the Jack Jumpers had 8 points in the fourth.
Yeah, right. TJ Vasilovic will be on the program a little bit later. He's returning from that Achilles injury, just getting some game time.
Limited minutes, yeah. But 8 points when he was on, crashing boards, shooting from deep really well, as we know that he does. So once he's back to full fitness, which I'm told isn't too far away, we can question him on that, I'm sure. He'll be excellent for them.
Interesting. They've got the big return bout against Melbourne United on Boxing Day. This time at home, though.
They do. I spoke to Bawali after the game, and as I mentioned Boxing Day's game, he just went, no, no, no. He started to sort of just be like, no, we're not doing that ever again. Yeah. We are absolutely never performing like that.
I saw that. I was interested in some of the messaging that Bawali was saying about himself. It's okay if I go out there and make mistakes. Coach Buford is putting more confidence in me. He's having some faith in my game, and so I can go and make mistakes. And I'm thinking, stop talking about mistakes.
Yeah, it's a funny one. He does tend to dwell on that. He mentioned in passing as well, I just overheard him talking to the media manager, and he said, do I have to talk about my turnovers?
Oh.
But, I mean, maybe it's a good thing for him to focus on. Some people will operate differently.
Yes.
Focusing on the positives and the negatives. But no, really, really great young kid and a seriously talented basketball player.
Absolutely. Lots of positives for the Perth Scorchers and Mitch Marsh.
Yes.
They are 5-5 to start this tournament. Posted a big score last night down at Marvel Stadium, 5-for-206. Mitch Marsh, in a man of the match performance, picks up 1-for-20, but 86 off 53. And he's just, he owns the game now. He's a massive presence in the game, no matter whether he's fielding, he's bowling, or he's batting.
And that adds a few runs in itself, doesn't it?
Totally. He walks out expecting to score runs.
Mm.
He doesn't talk about his turnovers to the media manager. You know that, and I reckon 10 years ago he probably was talking about his turnovers in equivalent terms.
Yeah. Shout out to Laurie Evans, 42 of 16 coming in at number 6.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but who the hell is Laurie?
I don't know, but I want to know now.
Exactly. I think he's like 34 years of age, 33 years of age. And I'm like, who? This guy can play.
Right.
And that's the strength and the weakness of the BBL at the moment, right? It's not AB de Villiers coming out and you go, well, I know who AB de Villiers is, but who is Laurie Evans? But can play. They did well. They're on target too. Finch and Madison going hammer and tong, 5-for-185. They ended up the Renegades. We talked about it yesterday with Hammy, didn't it? Complete mismatch, 1v8, but it didn't play out 1v8 at different stages. Ashton Agar, 2-for-23, ended up being the star with the ball. All right, let's talk about it. The boxing last night. You didn't see a whole heap of it because you were working.
I did watch highlights when I got home.
Right, there you go. I did and was like, oh, okay. Where do we start? Paul Gallen continues his winning ways. Defeated Darcy Lusick by TKO in the third minute. So 24 seconds into the third minute, he punched himself out. Darcy Lusick, he just went hell for leather in that second round and then just had nothing left. Totally understand it. He showed he was game. There's no doubt about that. But outclassed and the fitness of Gallen, which is one of his strengths, it was far too strong. So
has Gal done enough now to finally convince Sonny Bill to enter the ring with him, do we think?
He's done too much.
Too much.
Yes, I think is the way I would describe that. Sonny Bill Williams, and I saw a vision of him on Twitter last night running around playing tag with the kids in the backyard. he can't go. He can't match Paul Gallen.
Yeah, Paul, okay.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. So Gal's desperate to get the $4 million
payday. Even for $2 million.
I know, exactly. I know. Here's what Paul Gallen had to say after his win.
When the boxers were fighting, about 100 people turned up to watch him. So where's all these boxing people out there supporting boxers? I don't see it. So Sam Goodman and Harry Garside, come and see me in my shed. I need a bit of cash.
Split the $20K.
That's a really nice sentiment. From someone who, as we've talked about before, loves the cash.
Pick me up off the floor. Gal's giving away the cash. It might have been all, actually, I won't say it, won't, all set up. But Harry Garside, starting his professional journey, Sam Goodman thereabout. They both had wins.
How was the vision for Sam's fans?
Yes.
All the guys in the crowd going absolutely berserk. It was cool.
And so that's it, right? They get all this great support for them and... which is excellent, but they just don't earn the money that these other guys who have profile. I love the way that Nick Walshaw, brilliant Garside, stuns in pro debut, and he writes about it, and Nick's very polished around his, and he's very positive around it. But basically he said, you know, this is a farce. First round stoppage, not the way he wanted to start. Yeah, he's got a bit of an injury, but sometimes that happens. This one, Joey Leilua came out.
Is my new favourite person.
All right, let's hear Joey. I don't know the link between Joey Leilua and Billy Ray Cyrus. I can't. I'm just not seeing it at the moment.
Not a clue. Can we play that every hour of this morning, please?
Just to keep you going, Billy. Yeah. Really, yeah. So
great.
Joey, he walks out with a sombrero, the significance of which I do not know. This is Joey, and he goes the distance with Chris Hyington, which surprised a lot of people, and he wins on points against Chris Hyington. This is what he has to say after the fight.
Bit of excitement.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I want to say something. For all those haters that said I can't last four rounds, thanks, mate. Give me the inspiration tonight.
You showed some skills in that first couple of minutes. You knew you could fight, didn't you?
Yeah, I knew I could fight. I just wanted to show the whole world that I could last four rounds. You stereotype of me being fat and can't last four rounds. Ah. You know what? Okay, there you go.
All right, I think he's pretty happy with that, Joey.
Do you know what? The funniest thing was Ben Damon trying to hold back laughing during it.
Am I right in saying that Joey Leilua pre-fight was having a go at Chris Hyington saying, the only reason you won that comp was because of Benji, and the only reason people remember is you swore three times in the post-match interview. Now, Joey, that is life imitating art right there. But well done. He got into the ring and he had a win against Chris Hyington. Freddie Lussick was absolutely throttled by Taylan May. And there was a bit of controversy around that one. And Justin Hodges.
You were looking forward to that fight.
Justin Hodges got it done against the Rostog, who was doing his warm-up in his Budgie Smugglers. That was...
Oh, I did not see that.
Yeah, that was interesting. We can see that. He won by majority decision, so the Rostog not happy with that one. In rugby league news, there's a bit around. The NRL has changed a rule. Now, everyone goes, oh, not again. It's actually... It is a rule change, but it's a change back to what it was in a certain part of the field. I know if I'm a referee, I'm getting nervous.
Yeah.
Like, how much more difficult do you want to make it? So what's going to happen is if teams are penalised for infringements coming out of their own 40, it'll actually be a stop, penalty, kick for touch, restart your set, potentially in the opposition half. As opposed to, oh, that's six again. So if you're 2 metres off your line.
Yeah, my head hurts thinking about that. It wasn't the whole idea to speed up the game.
Yes, but it was and then exploited, for want of a better term, by the coaches by saying, we don't care if we have to do seven tackles when they're coming out of their own end, because that first tackle, lie all over them, take your time, defensive line set, and it then ruins them for the rest of the set. So what they're saying now, if you do that within the opposition's 40-metre zone, them coming off their own try line, then we will actually go back to making it a penalty for that.
Okay.
I don't mind it. That's fine. Yeah. I just worry about the extra bit of, like, are we in the 40? Like, what, the 50-metre line might have made it. Anyway, it's, I think, a good outcome. I just feel for the referees have now got something else to think about with all the other 6,000 discretionary decisions that they make, literally, during the course of a game. I think one thing they could think about, too, is the offside rule, the six again for the offside. I thought that could have been mentioned. There was no mention of that. The other one, which is interesting, is that this is the back page story courtesy of Paul Crawley. One in, all in. Ricky Stewart from the Canberra Raiders suggesting, so there's rules around, well, if you're top 30 player, then you can play any time in the NRL. If you're outside the top 30, then you basically, you have to look for special dispensation from the NRL, and you have to actually tell them why. Like, the reason we're doing this is we've had three injuries in this position, so we have to bring a player outside the top 30. What Ricky Stewart is proposing is, given what may happen with COVID, that if they're just in the system, if there are Canberra Raiders under 20s, under 18s, if they're a reserve grade player that's outside the top 30, that they can actually come in and play.
That makes sense, doesn't it? At least in the current climate, you can implement that rule and keep it flexible and say up until this date and then we'll reassess. But it makes sense.
I think it makes a whole heap of sense. It makes a lot of sense. In fact, there was all these challenging understandings as to why it didn't make sense that you could just put a player in there anyway. I know you need to retain the integrity of the salary cap and all that sort of thing, but it seems strange. They could be in your system, but you weren't allowed to play them, even though they were ready or they were better than anyone else you had available for that position. But anyway, so I don't mind that. We'll get your thoughts on that. 1300 01 1170. And the Dolphins have got another signing. Jermaine Asako.
What do you make of that?
I don't mind it. Talk in the paper was, oh, well, he might not find a spot in the Broncos, and that may well be the case. I've got, if they get him at the right price, Jermaine Asako is a good pickup.
I kind of like the fact that he's gone to crosstown rivals as well.
Absolutely. And Wayne Bennett gave him his first grade debut.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, back at the Broncos. Yeah, so there's another part of that story as well. I think that's a good pickup for the Dolphins, again, depending on what they're paying him. Our talk topic this morning, Joe Healy, is on the back of something you sent to the group WhatsApp last night, which I thought was
a pretty cool
story.
It was a total flex, actually, let's be honest.
Yes.
I wrote an article recently on Kings import RJ Hunter, who has spent some time playing in the NBA with Boston and Chicago. And he was talking about the first time that he met Dwayne Wade in Chicago. And he said, look, I never get starstruck. I'm cool with that kind of thing. But D. Wade walked into the training facility and RJ basically said, I had to check myself at one point because I just caught myself staring at him. and as you do, it's Dwayne Wade. He'd been at Miami. He'd won his championships. Yeah. He was doing the rounds on his way back to Miami in the end. And he said Dwayne Wade basically came up to him and was like, man, you okay?
Yeah.
And so RJ, you know, was like, oh, my God, this is so embarrassing, da-da-da. So I wrote this article. And D. Wade yesterday retweeted the article. And obviously nothing to do with me and everything to do with RJ, but I'm absolutely jumping on the back of it. So I guess we just want to know, have you had a Dwayne Wade moment where you've been acknowledged by your hero? And when I say hero,
yes,
I was D. Wade when I played NBA Jam.
Right.
I've got two of his jerseys at home.
Oh, are you serious?
I was so excited yesterday.
Okay, well done you. So your Dwayne Wade moment is with Dwayne Wade.
With Dwayne Wade.
That's pretty cool. Let us know when you've been a little bit starstruck, when you might have had some interaction with one of your heroes. I remember I was walking up to a training session at Marrickville Oval, having just gone to the Roosters, and I wasn't in the conversation, but I was just there with Paul Vorton, who was the Australian vice-captain at the time, talking to David Trawilla, who was a legend. You know, I've got no idea who these names are, but maybe Fatty. And I'm like, this is surreal. I was an 18-year-old kid going, this is surreal. I'm in this conversation with these two guys. Wasn't really. I think I was just loitering. But that was a bit of a Dwayne Wade moment for me. So we want those today. 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line as well. 0457 736 736. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.